Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Bava Basra Daf Kuflam and Gimel. We are holding on Daf Kuflam and Beis and Beis. Two lines from the bottom of the page. Hahuda Amar Lahu. Today's share is sponsored once again by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children, Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. It's wonderful to welcome our guests from the UK and from Florida. Thank you for joining us this morning. So today what we're going to discuss is the following. First thing we're going to talk about is we're going to have two more cases where a man gave something to his wife and something to his kids. And the question is, does the wife still have a shibud on the nechassim that she did not receive? He was distributing the nechassim and he gave certain things to his wife, so that's going to help pay off the ksuba. So the question is, does she still have a shibud nechassim on everything else? So we're going to have two more cases where that comes up. Then the Gemara is going to discuss if a shchiv mera is vague in his language, whether he's giving something as a Yerusha or as a Matana. So how do we interpret it? Do we assume that he means to give it as a Yerusha or that he means to give it as a Matana? And the Gemara is going to ask, L'may nafkamina, meaning the person who's on the receiving end is going to receive it. What difference does it make to the recipient whether he's getting it as a Yerusha or a Matana? So Gemara is going to suggest one nafkamina and reject it. Then the Gemara is going to suggest another nafkamina. It's a little bit funny because there are plenty of nafkaminas that the Gemara doesn't suggest at all, but the Gemara is going to go through a variety of nafkaminas. Then the Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis is going to talk about giving away one's Yerusha to other people, meaning making sure that there's nothing left for the kids. So is that a good idea or a bad idea? So generally it's a bad idea, but there's going to be a Tana that says, Rav Shmuel Gamliel is going to say, but if your kids don't behave themselves, if you have bad kids, then it's a good idea. So the Gemara is going to discuss, does anyone disagree with Rav Shmuel Gamliel? Is there anyone that thinks that when your kids are misbehaved, that it's still a bad idea to divert the Yerusha away from the children? And that discussion is going to take us all the way to the end of the daf and actually into tomorrow's daf. So let's begin again. We are two lines from the end of the page on daf Kuf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. So another story relating to a shiba that a woman has for her ksuba after she's already received a certain something from her husband. So who damer lehu? There was a guy who the Rashbam understands is a shchiv meira, and he has two daughters, and he says the following. Tilt of the brass, one third of my nechassim should go to one of my daughters. The tilt of the brass, another third of my nechassim should go to another one of my daughters. The tilt of the itas, and one third of my nechassim should go to my wife. So she was mochel on the shibud that she has on her ksuba from those nechassim. Meaning, normally a woman has a ksuba, she has a shibud on everything. Afilim and glimad al kaspai, she can collect from everything within his possession. But once she became a shutaf amongst the children, he's dividing the Yerusha the children, and he makes her one of the partners, so we assume that she's mochel that shibud. But then what happened was shchiva chadami binte. It's a little bit troubling that the Rashbam says that we're talking about a shchiv merah, because the case now is, as it develops, is that one of his daughters predeceases him. So it would be a remarkably short window that the daughter would have to die, but it could happen, right? So he's a shchiv merah, he's deciding where all the nechassim are going, and one of his daughters predeceases him. So the father is Yoresh from the daughter. So now the shaila is the woman able to collect her ksuba from those nechassim that initially were earmarked for the daughter, but the daughter that predeceased him never received it, so went right back to the father, she did receive it, but went right back to the father, Biyerusha. So on the one end, you could say that she cannot collect from them because she was ready, mochel the shibud she has on all of the nechassim. But on the other end, you could say that she can collect from them because she's allowed to collect from nechassim that the father didn't yet own when he was dividing the estate. So mali, whether he received this as Yerusha from his daughter, or mali, whether he just purchased more nechassim after they made this deal. So Savarav Papi Lemeima, Rav Papi wanted to say, Lo Shakla Ella Tilta, that she's only able to take the one third that her husband gave her. The wife is entitled to that one third of the nechassim, but the one third that had gone to the daughter and then returned to the father, that she could not take because she was already mocheles the shibud. So Amalei Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana said back to Rav Papi, Ilu Hadar Kahana, Kani, if the husband would go and buy new nechasim, Milo Shakla, would she not have the right to collect from that for her ksuba? Meaning she was mochel only the shibud that she has on the chelek that was earmarked for the other daughters, because she was proud enough to be a shutaf together with the other daughters, that in exchange for becoming a shutaf, she was willing to be mochel any shibud she has on their portions. But this isn't their portion anymore. She wasn't mochel on the chov of the ksuba. She wasn't mochel on the money that's owed to her in the ksuba. V'kimin dilu hadar kani shakla. So since if the husband were to go and buy more possessions, she would be able to use those possessions to collect her ksuba. Sahashtanami shakla. So let her collect this as well, because there's no difference between this and other new possessions that the husband is able to purchase. So the Gemara brings another maisa where it's a little bit different. You know, in this maisa, the guy was mechalek all of his nechasim. He had two daughters and a wife, and it was one third, one third, one third. Nothing was left for himself. Another maisa, there was a shchiv mera that was dividing up his nechasim to his wife and to his children, but he didn't do all of it. Shir chadikla, he left one dekel tree that he decided to keep for himself. So Savra Ravina Lameimer, Ravina initially thought to say lesla elechadikla, that she can only collect her ksuba from that one dekel, because she was mochel whatever shibud she has from her ksuba on any of the other nechasim that the fellow had given to his children. Because once she became a partner with the children in receiving the nechasim of the husband, so she was very happy with that, and she was mochel and ishibud. So all the husband had left was that one dekel. She was not mochel or ksuba, so she can collect her ksuba from that dekel, but she has no shibud on the other nechasim. So Amalei Rav Yemer LeRavina, Rav Yemer said back to Ravina, no, ilesla, if she cannot collect from that which the children have, because she was mochel, chadikonami lesla, then she can't collect from that dekel either, because she was mochel any shibud she has on anything that the husband has. Ella, but your svara is that she can collect from the dekel, because since he left that dekel out of the distribution and he did not give it to his children, she was not mochel her ksuba, and since he left a place for her to collect some of the chov from, migo denachta ledikla, once she's able to collect some of her chov from that dekel, she could collect her chov from all of the nechasim that he had earmarked for his children as well. Because we could say that she was not mochel that chov, not just earmarked, that he had given to his children as well. Because her ksuba predates that nesina, and when we know that there is a shibud left on some of his nechasim, the shibud remains on all of his nechasim. Meaning the mechila of the shibud on his nechasim is an all or nothing proposition. That if he was giving away all of his nechasim and she was part of the giveaway, so yes, then we assume she's mochel on the other nechasim that he's giving away. But if he's not giving away all of his nechasim, so there's some shibud that remains on that dekel tree, then the shibud remains on the rest of the nechasim as well. Well, why didn't she say something? Meaning if she really wanted to still maintain a shibud when he was giving away all these nechasim and she was part of the maimed over there, she was getting some of it, she was a shutaf, why didn't she make a macha'a? Because she figured that after Beis Din assesses the dekel tree and she's able to collect the dekel tree, she'll come back and she'll make an error on the other nechasim and collect from the rest as well. So her shtika is not a mechila whatsoever. That's the svara. Similar to the svara that we had in yesterday's daf about a bari, that since he could be kona more nechasim, we assume that the fact that the wife was there as he was distributing that which he already owned, that doesn't mean she's mochel. It means she thinks that he's going to get more. He's a wheeler and dealer. He's going to buy more stuff. She's going to get more. He's going to get more nechasim. She'll be able to collect from there. So a similar svara, that since she thinks she has somewhere else to collect from, she doesn't feel like she needs to make a macha'a about this distribution, but she still really, really intends to keep the shibud l'chasim that her ksuba entitles her to. So that concludes the discussion from yesterday's daf, right? Meaning this is those are two final cases where a woman receives something, and the question is, does she still maintain a shibud on the stuff that was distributed to other people? So now the Gemara is going to go back to the discussion of diverting Yerusha among one's children. So we know Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, we've discussed at great length, right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka said that if you are redistribute the percentages of the Yerusha among your Yarshim, among your children, so you're allowed to do that. One is entitled to do that. So he has a bunch of sons, but let's say one of the younger sons doesn't do as well in business as some of the older sons, so he wants to give the lion's share of his Yerusha to one of the younger sons. So he's allowed to do that. He's allowed to redistribute his Yerusha according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. So what about the following? Amar Rav Huna, Shchiv Mira Shekasav, Kol Nechasav La'acher. If a person is a Shchiv Mira, and he writes all of his Nechasim should be to someone else, and he doesn't say whether it's a Lashon Matana or a Lashon Yerusha. So Rowin Imra Iliyarsha. We have to see who is he trying to give the all of his nechasim to? If it's someone who's a ro'i liyarsha, meaning it's a ben bein abanim or it's a bas bein abanos, it's one of the people that are supposed to yarshim anyway. So notam mishum yerusha. So we assume when this shchiv mira is giving these nechasim, he's giving it as a yerusha, because after all, you're able to give it as a yerusha. That's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka holds, that since the mekabel can get it as a yerusha, and he stands in line to get Yerusha anyway, that must be the intention of this Shchiv Mira. And he's not intending to give it as a matana, meaning especially since the Dina Yerusha Daraisa, the whole concept of matna Shchiv Mira is only Drabanan, meaning you can always give a matana, but if a person matna Shchiv Mira means he doesn't even do a kinyan, he's just with a mira alone. So that's only a din midrabanan. So therefore, you know, if you recall, with Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, the Gemara was the first case that the Gemara had a suffix, does that work even on a bari, right? Can you redistribute the Yerusha even if he's a bari? The Gemara sets up the case, Rosh Bam points out, as a Shchiv Mira to stay out of that machlokas, that regardless of whether it works on a bari or not, everyone agrees that Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka works as for a Shchiv Mira, that a Shchiv Mira can distribute the Yerusha among his Yarshim. So if when he's giving Kol Nechas of the Acher is one of his children, so then it works as Yerusha. Vim Lav, but if the person is not Roy Liarsho, there are closer relatives, so it's his brother and he's got all these children, so not the Misha Matana. Then the person only receives it as a Matana because we assume he means something and he does not have the rights to give it as a Yerusha, and Eino Demotzi Dvar V'Levatala, person's not saying something for no reason, so we assume he meant to give it as a Matana to this person prior to his death. So Rav Nachman understands that what Rav Huna is really trying to tell me over here is that there is a concept of Yerusha when you're giving to someone, when you're giving a matana to someone who's ra'oi liyarsho. Meaning that Rav Nachman is going to understand that the main chiddush that Rav Huna just taught me is that Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka is correct. Is that there's such a thing called Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka's din, and then we pass him like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. So Rav Nachman is a little bothered by that. That's your big chiddush. That's how you're making your big splash in Daf Kuf Lamed Gimel in Bava Basra, and the funny looking page in Bava Basra. That's how you're gonna make your big splash. Then you're gonna tell me that we pass like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, which we already discussed for several dapim. Samlei Rav Nachman, Gan v'genuvei lamelach. Why are you being so vague and covering up what you're really trying to say? If you hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka that a person is able to redistribute the Yerusha among his actual Yarshim, Ema halach Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. Just say it. Say that you're passing like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. Tashmaitzach Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka udaza, because that's all you're really saying anyway. Meaning, why would you be so vague about it and so secretive about it? Just so that if the guy is royally Yarsho, he gets it as Yerusha. That's just another way of saying that we pass like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka. So what are you trying to get at? So Rabbi Nachman then says, Dilma, maybe your main intention, Rav Huna, was not to paskin necessarily like Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, your main chiddush was not that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, but rather ki haka amrit. Maybe the case you were talking about was similar to the following. There was a person who was dying. And they said to him, nichse leman, who do you want your nechasim to go to? And people made a suggestion. Dilma leplanya, maybe you want it to go to so-and-so. Varma lehu, ela leman. And he said, well, who else should it go to? You know, who else deserves it more than so-and-so? So it's as if he said that his nechasim should go to Ploni, but he never said whether it's going to be Betaras Yerusha or Betaras Matana. Va'amrit lanala, and Rav Huna is coming to say about such a maisa, If that Ploni is one of his sons, let's say, or one of his daughters if he doesn't have any sons, then Nota Mishum Yerusha, then that Ploni gets it as a Yerusha. Vim Lav, but if the person is not one of the Krovim that anyway would have received Yerusha, then Nota Mishum Matana, then the person only gets it as Matana. So maybe what you, Rav Huna, are trying to say is not to tell me that we paskin like Rabbi Yochum and Broka. That we know. You're trying to tell me that when a person uses a Stam Lashon that could be interpreted either way, and it could be given as a Yerusha or as a Matana, so you're trying to tell me that the default is that if it's possible that it should be a Yerusha, that it is a Yerusha. And it's only if it's impossible that it should be a Yerusha, only then it takes on the status of a Matana. So Amalei, Rav Huna said back to Rav Nachman, ah, yechap the shir, in halchika amina. You got exactly what I was trying to say. That was what my chiddush was, so you guessed correctly. So it says more of the May Hilchasa, but the May Nafkamina, whether someone gets something as a Yerusha or gets something as a Matana. So the Nesivus is a little bit bothered by the Kasha. What do you mean, May Nafkamina? There are big Nafkaminas, whether someone gets something as a Yerusha or someone gets something as a Matana. For example, you give something that's Loba Liolam. For Yerusha, that works. It does not work for Matana. You cannot be Nosin a Matana on something that's Loba Liolam. By Yerusha, a manchil cannot be chozer on Yerusha, as opposed to by a matana, you could be chozer bo, betoch de dibur at least. So there are several other nafkaminas. So the Nesivus tries to work through, and the Achronim try to work through why the Gemara wasn't happy with any of the other nafkaminas, and the Gemara only chose two nafkaminas, one of which we're going to reject. But be that as it may, that's the Gemara's question: the main nafkamina, whether the person is receiving it as Yerusha or the person is receiving it. as a matana. So Savar Avada Barava Kameh de Rava Lemeimar, Ravada Barava wanted to suggest in front of Rava, Nafkamina is as follows. Imro'i liyarsho almanasu nizonos min chasav. If this is going as Yerusha to his children, to one of his children, and that children is just getting the lion's share of the Yerusha, well then his almana would get mizonos from the estate, because it's the job of the Yorshim to provide for the almana. That's part of what is taken care of in her ksuba, that so long as she doesn't get remarried, it's the Yarshim's job, or so long as the ksuba is not paid off, it's the Yarshim's job to pay for her mizonos. V'im lav, but the guy gave a matana to somebody, that ein almanasa mizonos min chasav. Well, whoever a fellow gave a matana to during his lifetime has no responsibility to support his almana. So that would be enough kamina. That's a gemara git. Where it says that we're not motzi lemazon isha v'abanos min chasam mishubadim, meaning anything that the husband once owned and then he had given or sold, or that doesn't go to support mazon isha or banos. And the reason is because it's an unlimited amount of money that could go to the almana could live for another guy dies when he's 35 years old, the almana could live another 60 years getting mizonos. So it's kitzvah. So there's no way a lokeach is going to be able to be careful to make sure, meaning normally, why is it that you could collect from nechasim mishubadim? Because when a person invests in buying a property, he's supposed to do his research, see how many chovos you have, and see if he's leaving you with enough property to take care of those chovos. So, and if he's not, he's taking a risk, and it's a calculated risk. How are you supposed to do that cheshbon when the chov is not that you owe someone $10,000? The chov is, it's mazon of his wife after he dies. I don't know when he's going to die. I don't know how long his wife is going to live. I don't know how much she eats. I don't know, right? I mean, you have no idea what any of this is going to be. So since it's impossible for a lokeach to be on guard for something like that, that's why you cannot collect from the Chasam Mishubadim. That's why Mizonos Isha cannot come from the Chasam Mishubadim. So anyway, that's the Gemara's suggestion of what the Nafkamina might be. That if it goes as Yerusha, so then it has to be used to support the Almana. But if it's not a Yerusha, it's a Matana, so Mizonos Isha doesn't get collected from the Chasam Mishubadim. So Amalei Rava said back to Rav Adbar Rava, Mikra Gara, does the Almana get less of a right because the guy is her dying husband decides to give him matana than she would have gotten if he was just giving Yerusha. Hashta be Yerusha da Oraisa Amar Talmud Nasam Nizomus Minuchasav. If Yerusha, which works on a da Oraisa level to transfer the rights to the ownership of these items, and still that does not take away the zchus of the almana to collect from it. So matana, when you, there's not a regular matana, there's a matana shchiv mira b'matana d'rabanan. By this kind of matana, which is only d'rabanan, matana is normally d'oraisa. I give you something, you make a kinyan, that's d'oraisa. But there's a matana shchiv mira. It was dibur. It was just divrei shchiv mira k'ksuvin and k'msurin dami. So with a kinyan that's only on a d'rabanan level, lo kol shkein, that shouldn't be powerful enough to remove the zchus that the woman has to be able to collect from. So there's no way the chamim are going to be masakin that she does not have the right to collect from the matana. So that's not a good nafkamina. You wanted to say nafkamina is that if it's a Yerusha, she gets supported from it. If it's a matana, she does not. No, if it's matana shchiv mira, she does as well. Ella amar Rava, so we need another nafkamina. So Rava says nafkamina would be the following. Similar to kiddushalach ravacha bar ravavia ledivar Rabbi Yochanan Baroka. Now, it was similar to what Rav Acha bar Avya said within the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan Broka, where he said that within the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan Broka, if a person says, Nuchasai lucha v'acharecha l'ploni, that I want my nuchasim to go to you, but after you, then I want it to go to so-and-so. In my Yerishon Ro'i Liarsho, if the first person in line that he's saying, Nuchasai lucha, is one of his children, let's say, it's someone who's anyway going to get Yerusha, then when that the son that he's giving all that Yerusha to, when that son dies, this second person, this ploni, cannot come and have any claim on the property whatsoever. Because when he says it's not a matana. A matana you can give to whoever you want, but it's a Yerusha. The Yerusha in La Hefsek. Yerusha has dinim of Yerusha. So when the son dies, it goes to the son's Yorshim. You can't just change the dinim of Yerusha. So that's the nafkamina, whether the person gets it as a Yerusha or he gets it as a matana. That if the person is getting it as a Yerusha, Yerusha is in La Hefsek. Meaning if you want to give it to someone else afterwards, you can't. That's not within your rights. Whatever you say is going to be batel. We're just going to follow the laws of Yerusha. But if the person is receiving it as a matana, then it's yesh lahefsek. And if the nosin says that after you, I'm giving it to so-and-so, so it's you're giving sort of like limited ownership to this person. You're giving temporary ownership to the first person, and you're saying, and when you're not there anymore, the rest of the ownership is going to go to the next guy. So you're allowed to do that. So Amalei, you're only allowed to do that before you give it, right? Once you already give a matana, then you're not allowed to do it. I just got that shaila last week. Someone is a ticket dealer, so he buys tickets and he resells them on the different markets. Jewish profession, so Jewish side hustle. It's not really a Jewish profession, but a guy had purchased tickets, and the seller, after he had bought them, said, "If you are a dealer, please do not sell it. Do not resell it on any of these sites, because if they find it on any of these sites, then the team is not going to let me buy any future tickets. Only sell it on site A or B and nowhere else." So he wanted to know if he's bound to do it. It was all from people, everyone involved. So he wanted to know if he's bound to the seller's desires. He had already bought it. The guy could have told him, "I'm only selling it to you, and I'm only selling you the right to sell it to Plony and Plony. That's fine if that's the condition of the sale, because it's mine." But once he already bought it, he sold it to him. So then you can't start pulling things back. So anyway, Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman. Rav said to Rav Nachman, "How could Rav Acha bar Rav Avya say that since the first guy got it, he's the full owner of it, and the second guy has no claim whatsoever? It's just like Yerusha that has no hefsek v'yifseka. But the guy who's giving it made such a tenai that it should go to the second guy. Why don't we listen to him?" So who sabar yesh lahefsek? Yeah, because the guy giving it thinks that he has the right to change the laws of Yerusha. But v'rachmana amar ein lahefsek. But the Torah thinks otherwise. The Torah says that there's no hefsek to Yerusha. Grusha. So therefore, you cannot decide that it's going to go to somebody else afterwards. The Machna Ephraim points out that we could have said it so much more directly. Rachmana Amar Ein Lehefsek. Right? Just say that. Well, who Savar Yesh Lehefsek? What are we adding by saying who Savar Yesh? Just why is it that that it doesn't go to that second guy? Because the Torah says so. So the Machna Ephraim suggests that what the Gemara is trying to tell me is that the Nosein thought that a Yerusha does have Hefsek. And since what he's saying is against the Torah, it's Dvar of Betelim. But if he says Beferish, that he wants to give it as a Matana, then for sure it's going to work as a Matana. Meaning, that's the sheet of the Rambam as well, that if he says, I'm not giving this as a Yerusha, I'm giving this as a Matana, so then the recipient, even though it is one of the Yarshim, is only getting it as a Matana. Meaning, even if the person on the receiving end is one of his children, but if the father says, but I'm not giving it to you as Yerusha, this is a Matana, well then he does have the right to choose who's going to get it next. However, the Chuvas HaRivash disagrees. He says, no, you're never allowed to give to someone who's Roi L'Yarsho as a Matna Shchivmira. Whenever you're giving to someone who's Roi L'Yarsho, it has to be, and you're a Shchivmira, right? And there's no, so it has to be, there's no Kinyan, you're not actually doing a Maisa Kinyan, so it can only either be a Yerusha or a Matna Shchivmira. It has to be a Yerusha if it's someone who's Roi L'Yarsho. Okay, Ha'ud Dar Malei L'Chavri, there was a guy that said to his friend, Nechasei L'Chava Acharecha L'Ploni, I want my Nechasei to go to you, but after you die, I want it to go to Ploni. Verishon Roy Liarsho. However, the first guy was someone who's Roy Liarsho. Shach of Rishon, and the first guy died. Asa Sheni Katava, and the second guy came and was Tovea the Nechasim. Because after all, the original owner had told him that he's going to be the next in line. So Rav Ilish kameid Rav Lemeimer. So Rav Ilish was sitting in front of Rava, and he thought to say, "Sheni nami shakil, let the nechasim go to the second guy as well, because after all, that's what the original owner had wanted." So Amalei Rava said to Rav Ilish, "Dayane dechatzatzta hachidaimi, dayane dechatzatzta," which sounds like not a compliment. Ardana din Torah like this. So what does it mean, Dayane de Chatzatzta? So the Rashbam writes, people who are always saying, just split it, meaning there are Dayanim that know what the halacha is, and therefore they pass the halacha, and the Dayanim don't know anything. So if they don't know anything, they just say, all right, we'll make a pshara, we'll go 50-50. So that's not acceptable, to just decide that you're going to split everything. Then Rashbam quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel that Dayane de Chatzatzta means Beis HaKvaros. Chatzatzta is a lashon of Chatzot moved on the Nachayim, that someone who's cut off and separated from the living. And the Marsha explains that it was, the reason he was called Dayan Chatzatzta is because Rav Nachman was telling Rava that a Nosein that dies, the Nosein that was dead, that has now died, assumed that Yerusha has a Hefsek. But the fact is, Yerusha does not have a Hefsek. So now Rava's telling Rav Ilish, the Dayan of the Beis HaKvaros held like you, meaning the one lying there in the Beis HaKvaros who thought that he could do this, he's the one that held like you. And we already paskind Ein La Hefsek. So it's referring back to the last Maisa, where it was that guy that said, oh, in Acharecha L'Ploni, because he thought that he has the right to do that, but he in fact doesn't have the right to do that. So it was referring to a specific case by referring to him as the Dayan of the Beis HaKvaros. In the Yalkut Mefarshim, in the back of the Gemara, he quotes from Gedalia Lipschitz, who says that it's a kinoy for Dayanim that are like Mesim because they don't know anything. Okay, so it's a Dayan of that's always suggesting a Peshara, a Dayan of the Beis HaKvaros, referring to the last Maisa, or like a dead Dayan. You might as well be dead because you don't know anything. So, Lav Haimu, the Shalach Rav Acha Bar Avavya, isn't this exactly the case that Rav Acha Bar Avavya taught us about, that since the first one in line that you're giving your nechasim to is Ra'u L'Yarsho, he's getting it as a Yerusha, like Rabbi Yochanan Broka taught us you can do. And once it's a Yerusha, it's Ein Lehefsek. You can't then divert it to someone else. So Ichsef, so Rav Ilish was very embarrassed that he made this mistake. And he thought, oh no, what's Rava going to think of me? Rava's going to think, the one time Rava shows up to my Beis Din and he sees that this is how I paskin, and he catches me in an error, Rava probably thinks that every Din Torah that comes out of my Beis Din is a joke. He probably thinks that I make these kinds of mistakes all the time. So Kari Alei, so Rava realized that he was embarrassed, and he said about him, Ani Hashem bi'ita achishen. He said, no, don't you realize what a tzaddik you are? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected you from coming out with the wrong din. Meaning, I've never been in your Beis Din before, right? Why was I never in your Beis Din before? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu never sent me here before, because probably you never made a mistake before. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to come just in the nick of time to protect you from making a mistake, and it's muchach from that everything else you said was not a mistake. The Ritva quotes from Rabbeinu Chananel that he was trying to say that you shouldn't be embarrassed about your mistake because you're not yet 40 years old, therefore you don't have the level of chachma of the chachmas hagedolim. Right? The halacha is that a younger Tamil chacham, what the Gemara refers to as a tzubra mirabanan. Tzubra mirabanan means a young Tamil Chacham, means someone below the age of 40. So the halacha is that he has certain limits on when he can paskin. If there's an older Talmud Chacham in the city, it's halacha Shulchan Aruch. He's not allowed to paskin when there's an older Talmud Chacham in the city, because we assume that someone over 40, his mind is fully developed. Before the age of 40, he doesn't have the perspective to necessarily paskin. Rav Shechta said he once said over that din at a Chag HaSmicha. He was talking to all these young rabbis, so he's telling them all the dinim of being a young rabbi. So you can go to the city, there's an old Talmud Chacham, you're not allowed to paskin. So he said, Rabbi Lam, Zichron of Baruch, got very angry at him. Why are you telling them that? He said, because it's a din, so I told them that. But, because it caused a lot of problems in the community that hires a brand new rabbi, and he refuses to paskin any shaylos. The new mission now. Hakozim nechasim la'acherim. If someone decides he's giving his nechasim to other people, because of that, there's nothing left for his kids to yarshin. So masha asa asui, okay, whatever he did, so it belongs to the other people. But ala in racham nochem, and but the chum are not happy with what he did. We get angry at him because he's mavir nachla from his children, and he's being mevatel the dinim of Yerusha that it says in the Torah. The reason machlokas rishonim is this only when it's kosef kol nechasav lacherim that it's in racham nochem, or even if you're kosef some of your nechasav laacherim. So the Rashbam writes va'afilu laharbos laechad and lema'it laechad. Rabbi Gershom says that it's only talking about when it's kol nechasav lacherim. So the Rashash says, where did the Rashbam get this idea? Lashon of the Mishnah v'hiniach as banav sounds like you didn't leave anything for your children. So why would the Rashbam think that even if you do leave something for your children, you still run afoul of this problem? So the Rashash says, well, v'hiniach as banav is not necessarily a raya, because it could be that you use the lashon of v'hiniach as banav to be mechadesh that even when you're kosev kol nechasav, the halacha is still masha asa asui. Meaning, I would have thought that if kosev kol nechasav, then what you did had no effect. So maybe a dafka wanted to give a case of Yiniach Hezbanav to tell me that Masha Asa Aswe, that what you did is still binding. So again, it's not a good thing to give away everything so that your children won't have anything. Rabbi Shimon Gamlielom, or that, and according to the Shram, or that your children will have less. Rabbi Shimon Gamlielom, Im Lo Yubanav Nogim Kshura Zachar L'Tov. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that if your children don't behave properly, then Zachar L'Tov. The Gemara in Ksuba says that you're allowed to give away the lion's share of your money to tzedakah, that while the person's alive, so vaziz yosim chomish, you're not supposed to give more than 20% of your money to tzedakah. But the only reason for that is shema ye ani v'yitzarich lebrios, that a person might become poor if he gives away too much of his money to tzedakah, and then he's going to need to collect tzedakah himself. But if he's dying, he's not going to become poor. He's going to be dead, so he's not going to need the money anymore. So then you are allowed to give the lion's share of your money to tzedakah. But anyway, to give it to other people at the expense of your children, so that's the issue over here. So Mishum Gamliel says, but if the kids don't behave, they're not religious or whatever, so then you can give to other people and keep it away from the children. So Yibayilu, mi pligi Rabbanan leid Mishum Gamliel olo. Do the Rabbanan disagree with Mishum Gamliel about the children who are not knowing Keshura, who don't behave properly? So Tashema, we're going to bring a raya from the following story that happened. It's a story, you have similar such stories in Masechet Shabbos. This is a different story. The Yosef ben Yehozer hayilo ben shaloya noy kshura. Yosef ben Yehozer had a son who didn't behave properly. Havale Elisa didinri. Yosef ben Yehozer happened to have an attic full of money. He just stored all his money in his attic, but his son wasn't behaving properly, so he didn't want to leave this treasure to his son. Come Akdasha, it happened to be so he went and he was Makdish, the money in the attic. So the, nothing was left for the son. So Azal, the son of Yosef ben Yosef, went, Nasiv Bas Gadil Kalili Diyane Malka, and he married the daughter of the crown maker for Yanai HaMelech. The Yanai HaMelech had crowns with gems and jewels on it, and the daughter of the guy who was in charge of, who was the jeweler who made the crown, was the Shidduch for this son of Yosef ben Yosef. Alida Debitu, his wife gave birth, and Zavon La Binisa, and he bought her a fish that she needs, because I guess she needed to eat better, you know, better nutrition. So he went out to the fish market. She needed some fish, so Kara, she opened up the fish, Ashkach Ba Margalisa, and they found a gem, a precious gem, inside the fish. So Amalei, his wife said to him, listen, I know a little bit about how to deal with precious gems. I grew up around this, right? Meaning I grew up, my father's a jeweler. He was the jeweler of the king. One thing I could tell you is, do not sell this to the king, because I know all the tricks of the trade from their, you know, from how they get a good deal. Lo to Matya Lamalka. Don't bring this to the Beis HaMelech to buy it. They're going to lowball you. You're not going to get nearly as much money as you can. Zil Amti L'Gabi Gizbri. You want to go to Erlecha people? Go to the Gizbar of Hegdish. That's where you should sell it. They'll use it, Rosh Hashanah, for the Avnei Ephod. So, right? They need precious gems for the Avnei Ephod. V'lot Tishai Me'at, and don't make your own assessment of the gem, because Damiras L'Gvok, because when you decide to give something to Hegdish, then through Dibur alone, it already belongs to Hegdish. It's as if a kinyan was already made. So if you try to give an assessment and you say a number that's lower than it really should be, it's going to already belong to Hegdish, and there's going to be no backing out. There's going to be no backing out of it. And even though Tosfos Bamitzia points out it would be a Shuma B'taus, but a Hegdish B'taus is Hegdish. That Hegdish B'taus is binding as well. So it's not a good idea for you to say anything. Elishaimur inhu. And what you should do is present this gem to the Gizbar of Hegdish and let them make the assessment. Amtia, so he brought it to Hegdish. Shomua Bitlisir Eliyasa Didinri. They said that this gem is worth 13 attics full of coins. Meaning the father had one attic full of coins, and he just gave it to Hegdish instead of letting the son have it. Now the son has this find of this precious gem that's worth 13 attics worth of coins. Samri Lei, so the Gizbarim said, Sheva Ika. Look, we don't have that much money. We have 7 attics full of coins, Shis Leka, but the other 6 that this is worth, we don't have. So what do you want us to do? We just can't afford it. So Amar Lahu, so the son of Yosef ben Yosef said, Sheva Havuli, give me the 7 that you have. Shis, Harei Mukdash Shemaim. The other 6 that you owe me, I'm making Hegdish. That's fine. That's my gift to Hegdish. So Amdu, the Chachmei Adar, who would record all of the expenditures and receivables that Hegdish had, they got up because when they wrote, Yosef ben Yoezer, Hichnis Achas, Ubeno Hichnis Sheish. That Yosef ben Yoezer was so generous, he gave us 1 attic full of Hegdish stuff, his son gave us 6. So V'ika Da'amri, Yosef ben Yoezer, Hichnis Achas, Ubeno Hoti Sheba. Others say that Yosef ben Yosef gave whatever he had, and the son wiped us dry, right? He took everything. He took everything that we had. He took all 7. So, but so what's the raya? Again, our shaila was, the shaila was, when a son does not act kashura, that we know Rav Shmuel Gamliel holds, you're allowed to keep all the Yerusha away from him. Do the Chachamim disagree with that? So from this story, we're supposed to be able to see the answer to that. So Midka Amri Hichnis, from the fact that they said that the son was Machnis Sheish, which means that they're praising him, that he contributed 6 attics full of coins worth to Hegdish, Mechal Deshaparav. It sounds like Yosef ben Yosef did a good thing when he was Makdish his Nechasim and he kept them away from his son who was not behaving properly, because by doing that, it caused this major contribution to Hegdish. And if all the Chachmei Adar said that, it must be that all the Chachmei Adar approved of keeping the Yerusha away from Yosef ben Yosef's sons. So says Mar, no, you're reading it wrong. Adraba means Kamri Hotzi, from the fact that it says that he took away 7 attics full of money from Hegdish, Mechal Delav Shaparav. It sounds like Yosef ben Yosef did the wrong thing by being Mavir the Nachla, because that caused it that his son was willing to take 7 attics away from Hegdish, meaning that Hegdish is what took away my whole Yerusha. I'm going to take away everything Hegdish has. So that was improper, that what Yosef and Yoazer did. So bottom line is, we don't have a raya from here, because you can interpret the story both ways. So my havila, how do we paskin in the end? Meaning, not how do we paskin, but do the Rabbana disagree with Rav Shmuel Gamliel or not? How do we understand it? So Tashma will bring another raya. Darmali Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shmuel says Rav Yehuda Shinina. Shinina means sharp one or toothy one, or the different shitos, or Talmud of the Chachamim. Vishinantam of Anecha means Dvarim are fluent in your mouth. So Shinina, a person who's very fluent. Lotavi be aburi achsanta. Don't be in the place where people are mavir nachlos. Afilu mibra bisha lebra tava. Even if they're mavir nachla from a bad son to a good son, it's not a good thing to do. V'kolshke mibra lebarta. And certainly you should not be mavir nachla from a son to a daughter, because you never know what's going to be. You know, you think that you're taking the Yerusha away from a bad son, giving it to a good son. The grandchildren you have from the bad son may be the biggest tzaddikim in the world, and now they're not going to have anything. So it's you can't be mavir nachla. So we see that the Rabbanan say that you're never supposed to be mavir nachla, even Ribra Bisha Lebratava, against Rav Shmuel Gamliel, and Shmuel apparently paskins like that shita. The Achronim all struggle with how was it okay for Avram Avinu to be mavir nachla from Ishmael and give instead to Yitzchak, if we paskin lahalacha, we paskin the Ramah, paskin the Shulchan Aruch, that you're not supposed to be mavir nachla, even Ribra Bisha to a Bratava. Okay, so that's a discussion that the Achronim have. Everyone have a wonderful day.